Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig, sitting alongside Greg. You know, we want to keep our work environments as healthy as we can keep them, but there might be some things that kind of seep in. I hope you have a carbon monoxide detector in your house and probably in your workspace, because carbon monoxide, can't smell it. You don't know that it's there, but it just robs everybody of life. And I think that that's what happens sometimes in some workplaces. There's some toxic things that are just so subtle, so sneaky, and you may not even smell them coming in, or you don't really detect them unless you kind of step out, get some fresh oxygen, and you're refreshed. And then you step back in there and you go, oh, this is not good. And the start of the year seems to be the time that people are like, hey, let's take a fresh start, a fresh approach. You know, let's help our friends do this. How can we start to spot some of these areas? And as leaders, because it is the leader's responsibility to protect their teams from the toxicity, how do we do that?
I don't know.
Okay. Thank you. We'll be back next month.
I think many associates put on a front to the leader, and you really don't get a good test, right? So that'd be like, they put the, you know, cuff on you, want your BP, it's not working very good. Let's try the regular one where I just hold and count. Sometimes you have to do that. Get the cuff off. I know it's a good medical procedure, but if it's not getting a real read, maybe you just need to take the person's wrist and count and find out how fast is it going. I think because we're in leadership, they don't want us to be in the know, because it may be a job issue or a promotion issue. So they keep things from us very naturally.
But don't you think it's the other way around, that there's some leaders that don't want to, they kind of keep their cards
probably
next to their vest too? I don't want to tell people.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think? The leader that doesn't want to face it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no, we got a great team. Well, we do, but they're dead tired.
Well, so I got a little, my friend Jessica, I'm going to send this to you. Because I'm going to tell a story about you. Jessica would come into my office and she would do like this. Okay. What's really going on? As though I was holding back, and it was kind of our joke between us, because she knew I was being forthright, but I think that was a good reminder for me, as well as am I sharing the details that need to be shared? I don't want to sugarcoat them, but neither do you want to like just dump everything where you demoralize the team. That's a whole nother toxic environment there. But I think that you're right. It does start with the leader has to be honest enough to share. Yeah. The leader also has to be encourage other people to share in a way that they're not going to be like, you know, how dare you say that to me? I can't believe that you're, I mean, if we need the honest feedback. Right. So we need people to say, it's toxic. We're getting choked. We don't have the life that we need. So let's talk about some of the toxic things.
I think maybe we overuse the word toxic without real definition. Like, what is toxic?
Sure.
I think gossiping is toxic.
Sure.
I was in an organization where, you know, if you didn't come in on time or you didn't have a sale, they would just beat that person up, but never talk to the person.
Right.
So that's pretty toxic, you know. What's another one that you'd say is a toxic behavior?
Well, let me just add to that one first. So here's how I've defined gossip with my teams, is when you are talking about somebody who isn't in the room, or you're talking about somebody on a level where nothing can change. So if I'm talking to you about Billy Bob over there, he's not going to change anything. So I need to talk to you to get some insight, but then I got to go say, Billy, you and I need to talk about this. So
that's untoxic then.
Right.
You went to talk to him.
That's healthy to be able to do that. So I think gossip is one. You and I were writing some things down here, and we probably could have come up with a really long list, but I think that the whole office politics thing, that, friends, listen, I'm going to say this. I think office politics starts at the top. I think that the leader sets the tone on that, because they probably put themselves, look at me, I'm in the corner office. Do you see my title? And, you know, kiss my ring when you walk into my office, because I, you know, you create this unrealistic setting, and that's going to create a toxic environment, because when that leader walks out of their office, nobody is going to be honest with them. Everybody is like putting the best face on everything. And they're like, oh, things are great. Things are great. Things are wonderful. Because they know if they look at you sideways, if they do anything out of line, you know, so that whole office politics thing, I have no time for that whatsoever. It is so unhealthy for everybody, and it does not create a thriving organization.
Most organizations are set up for the outside world.
Yeah.
If we're unhealthy inside, we're only going to bring unhealthy to the outside world. A customer, a vendor, people we serve or, you know, buy from, whatever it happens to be. Yet the politics wouldn't, of course, you know, in today's world, people like politics, and there's not an honest person in Washington, D.C. Why would we want politics in our office then?
Right.
That's a great one.
Right. Yeah. So leaders, I think, go first on that to eliminate the politics. I think leaders need to step up and say, this is gossip. We're not going to have this conversation here. Yep. What's another kind of toxic behavior that leaders can step in and address?
What would you put backstabbing with gossip?
With gossip, probably. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You're trying to pull the other person down.
Yeah. So maybe I'll add maybe like a negative spirit of competition or competitiveness. Well, you know, he got that one account because, you know, his dad. Aren't you happy for him?
Right.
You know, just sort of minimizing an accomplishment.
Right.
Maybe making it a little too cutthroat.
Right.
You know, where there's not sharing, like, Patrick Lencioni wrote a book, what was the silos?
Oh yeah.
Turfism and silos. Yep. That to me is probably a toxic, like, well, my resources, Craig, are, well, for my team. Well, I could use that one because I've got an audit coming up with a client, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Nope, this is mine.
my services are busy already. It's too bad you don't have any, you know, it's almost like you don't have, you know, harvest for the next season.
Sure.
You know, so I think competition may be over, not competing to be excellent, but competing against each other.
Right. And so one of the ways that I used to address that was, instead of saying, for instance, if it was sales, I wouldn't do total sales volume. I would do how much have you grown? What's your percentage of growing? Yeah. So that way the brand new person that just came in that only has a small book of business to start with, well, they might have grown their business by 32%. Mm-hmm. That person up at the top that with the big book of business, yeah, you grew by 0.2%. Right. Why are we giving you the award just because you have the bigger book of business? You only have it because you've been around for 27 years.
You're long in the teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's one way that you can, you know, make the playing field. We're looking for you to, like you said, we're looking for excellence here. Yeah. We're looking for you to press through and make a sale, hit a goal, hit a benchmark that is significant for you.
Mm.
And then we can celebrate that.
What about negativity? Where'd you put that?
Yeah, I think, you know, negativity, toxic. Yeah, that's definitely toxic. And that's, I think that there's a lot of people that they bring the negativity with them because of an environment that they've been in before, and they just assume it's going to be this way.
True.
And I've said to people, listen, that's not how we think around here. You're looking at this like it's doomsday, you know, that the glass is less than half full. That's not how we think around here. We think that there's a lot of potential. There's a lot of resources. We can get in somewhere. In fact, I've had to do sometimes when I'm coaching with different organizations, when I'm like, okay, so, you know, where do you guys want to go? What do you see? Well, we're probably only going to just get to here because that's all that we can. Okay, let's imagine that somebody just endowed you with $50 million to expand. Now, where do you want to go? Well, we could do this and this and this. Okay, that's the kind of dreaming that I want from you. That's exactly the kind of outlook that I want. So I think that negativity, we need to squash that by saying, you know, if we have a really good vision and if we're really excited about it, pretty sure the resources are going to follow. They will find their way in here.
I think so. I think negativity is harder to beat than trying to push positivity. Because it's so easy to say, yeah, I don't think he's that nice of a guy. You know, she really is, she's way over her head. I mean, just the cutting down, the negativity is so hard. Bureaucracy might be a smidgen different, you know, in terms of toxicity versus politicians or being office politics. So bureaucracy would be required meetings.
Yeah.
Long meetings, forms, data. What do you do with the data? Nothing but the guy in...
But I need it.
But I need it because the guy in the corner office asks me for the data all the time. So what do we do with the data? I have no clue what he does.
Right.
I think bureaucracy can kind of take the fun out of it.
Right.
You know, like it's no fun. It's and you've got some examples of bureaucracy, whether it's church, school, business. It's amazing how much bureaucracy.
There's so much. I just, the other day, there's a forum that I'm on online with other senior pastors. Oh. And one of the guys yesterday, he poses this question. He goes, guys, I need some help. I can't get my board meetings under 4 hours. I'm like, 4 hours? I said, I'm like thinking all this stuff. Like, are you only meeting once a year? So I'm like, while I'm still processing it, I'm looking at comments underneath and people that have already asked that question. Like, well, how often do you meet? Well, every month. 4 hours.
Almost 50 hours.
Are you kidding me? So I think that there was probably, I'm going to guess, without me ever stepping in that organization, there's a whole lot of bureaucracy there.
Yeah.
But I think it's, that really drains people when you're like, so, you know, are you fulfilled? Are you doing your job? Nope, I'm filling out this form to turn this thing in because they need to know how many hours and how many, you know. Okay, well, that's, you know, but I think the other thing that I would probably put under bureaucracy is the leaders like that typically don't have a very set, solid vision for the organization.
That's good.
So that's constantly changing. And people are like, what are we shooting at this over
What's
here?
The target. Yeah.
We're going to, wait a minute. I thought, weren't we doing this? Yeah, we're not doing that anymore. And probably because it's the latest book that the leaders read or the latest conference that they've gone to. Yeah. And they're like, oh, look what this guy did. And he was able to grow to $30 million. And then they come back, okay, guys, here's what we're doing now. And here's another form for you to fill out for us to get there. That kind of bureaucracy really drains the life out of an organization too.
This isn't a word. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. So braggadocia.
Oh, that's a word. Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't in Sound of Music movie, but braggadocia, I think, is so difficult to be around. Two things happen to the person. If I'm bragging, it tells you really don't care what happened to you today.
Right.
So like, you had a good day. I wouldn't know because I'm bragging. The other part is it's the one-upper story. Like, oh, I got a better one than that.
Yeah.
It's such a braggadocia.
Oh, you only did that?
Yeah, well, I did that when I was 17 with an arm tied behind me. I think braggadocia is so exhausting.
Oh, yes.
From a toxic. It's like, all right, so I don't mind celebrating successes, but I like doing it for you.
Yeah.
For me to say, I just did this and did this and did this. You're like, I got no questions. I want to get out of this meeting.
Right.
So braggadocia can be very toxic because it's like, well, who has the mic wins.
Right.
That's unfair.
Well, you see people when the braggadocious boss comes walking out of their office, you see everybody go like this, like, or they pick up their phone because they don't want to have that conversation. So they're going to pretend like I'm so immersed in this thing or I'm on the phone. But I also see the other one, the boss that comes out to not brag on themselves, but to bash everybody else when they come out and they're like, I'm looking at this report and they're like finding
heads are going to roll.
You know, it's the same thing. You see the same people like, oh, heads down. I'm going to be like this, or I'm on my phone. So I don't want to have the conversation right here. So I hate to say it, but I mean, look at the faces of your people when you walk out in the office. Are they looking at you and they're looking for you to come? Or are they looking around trying to find something to do? That might be part of that carbon monoxide of toxicity you need to address.
I think one thing to share with everybody, we're going to have some toxicity in any organization.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Where we as leaders will shine is by addressing it.
Yep.
Right. So summer comes along, and ants come out of hibernation. They kind of make their way to the garage, and they find your trash can. If you don't deal with it, you're going to have a colony, right?
Yep.
That's kind of how this goes. Just one ant at a time finds the trash because it's fresh,
yep,
smelling in the spring, whatever it is. I think as leaders, we have a really big opportunity to address it.
Yes.
But we have to start with ourselves. I worked with a guy that was the CFO of an organization that we are all owners of, and he was negative and kind of, I guess maybe the best word would put people down, like to put them in their place.
Right.
Well, you know, you haven't been here as long as I have. I hope I'm not here that long. I mean, right, based on that answer or that look, I think that's important for us to make sure we don't let toxicity start to get rooted.
Sure.
Because then all of a sudden the good people leave.
Right.
And all we're left with is the people that enjoy toxic.
Yep.
And then that shows to the outside world and you lose customers and your business value goes down.
Yep.
But I think that's kind of a leader is so important today.
Yep.
People are sensitive. People are trying, you know, they're trying to find their way. It's a challenge. I think for us leaders, that's one of the ahas is make sure you're not toxic or encouraging it. So there was a group, there was kind of a subgroup of owners, partners, and they would meet without some others. Sounds a little bit like our, you know, government and our world with elites. You know, like who gave you
I don't that? I can't use any input from you. I know all the answers already.
Exactly. Right? So just like a subgroup got together, and yeah, so you're like, and so that subgroup, I can attest, we had over 100 employees. That subgroup, they figured out who it was, and they were avoided because they were toxic.
Yep.
You know, there was like, what are they meeting about? I like, come on in the room. You can listen to us. I'm not saying anything negative or wrong. And if you're a part of it, then you'll hear right from me. There's no secret meetings. But I think, what would you call that? Maybe submersive leadership. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, let's not talk to everybody. Let's only talk to the people we like.
Right.
So favoritism.
Sure. Or a two-tiered system. You know, these are the people that get the attention. These are the people that we just shun.
Yeah.
You know.
And it takes oxygen out of the room.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know, in Shepherd Leadership, when I wrote that book, I was talking about the
there it is right there
the tension that leaders have between being confident and being humble. My initial outline, I just had that as one chapter, and then I wrote two chapters back to back. So I wrote the confident leader's humility and the humble leader's confidence. Because those two really have to go together. That's I have true. To be confident enough that, you know, I know where to lead this organization, but I have to be humble enough to know that I don't have all the answers. And everybody from my, you know, right-hand executive VP all the way down to the person that vacuums the floors, they all have valuable information to give me.
Yeah.
And if I'm not willing to listen to that, then the toxicity is going to, like using your ant example, that colony is going to grow. And so it's the sooner that I address it, the sooner I listen to what's there, the quicker I'm going to be able to address that, get that toxicity out of there. And once people start realizing, you know what, they don't tolerate that kind of stuff, it goes away really quickly.
It does, yeah. You basically put light onto a cockroach in a kitchen. I think we've said this before in other episodes, just to rehash, one of our jobs in leadership is develop others.
Yes.
Toxicity does not.
Right.
It's incongruent. It doesn't work together. And so the person will kind of shy away. They won't bloom. They won't blossom. They won't grow if we allow toxicity. The interesting part is I've been around some people where I have been able to point it out or the organization have pointed it out, and they made a good change. Mm-hmm. But by allowing it, we're saying, you know what, we're not going to confront it. And however you wish to, you know, in a positive way. Okay, well, it's going to grow. It's not going to stay a baby.
Right.
It's going to grow. And I think that's our challenge as leaders, is how do we get them to realize all of us can kind of control the water cooler in the kitchen, you know, and a little gossip here and there, and so on. You hear about that person, you know, yeah, there she just got written up, blah, blah, blah. Really? Help the lady.
Right.
Help the guy.
Yep.
You lost a client, and we're talking about him. So I think celebrating good things and squashing toxic bad things it's a job.
Absolutely. Well, you know, like Greg mentioned earlier, that the blood pressure, you know, example, that's the reason why they call blood pressure the silent killer, because, you know, just looking at you, how do I know what your blood pressure is? I got to put the cuff on there and measure. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's the same thing with a lot of gases, you know, radon or carbon monoxide. It's silent. It's odorless. It's tasteless. You don't know until the tester is there.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I think that is the value of us coming in as a coach in an organization, because we're coming in from the outside. We can be that detector. We come in and observe. In fact, Greg, you were talking earlier about when we go into an organization, we'll go in for our first assessment, our first meeting. There's no charge for us to just come in there. We can come in and just observe, just kind of be the fly on the wall, just observe, ask some questions, and then say, hey, something's going off right here. This detector, this needle is going off. This is an area that we can help you with. And it might be that I had no idea, because it's odorless, it's tasteless, it's invisible, but somebody coming in from the outside. So if you go to maximizeleadership.com, look at the coaching page. You'll see some of our coaches listed on there, see a little bit more about our coaching, but the real value on that page is the form at the bottom. It's just kind of an open form. Just write in there, say, you know, I'm just struggling with, or I wonder if something like this could happen, or just put those in there. We'll read that. We'll get together with you. We'll come in. We'll do an assessment for you absolutely free. We'll just give you kind of a bird's eye view. Here's what we think we see, and here's how we could be able to step in and help with some of our coaches. So it's no obligation to you to get this outsider's perspective that could really help your organization soar. And that's where we need some input from you as well. You say, hey, here's a topic that we'd like you to cover in an upcoming episode. Reach out to us on X at Maximize Podcast, or leave a comment right below here and say, why don't you guys talk about this? That's how we're going to input things that are going to help you get better in your organization. So use us as a resource. Reach out to us. Let us come in and help you get better. When you get better, your team's going to get better. When your team gets better, the whole world's going to get better. That's why we're here for you. So stay tuned here, especially the Craig and Greg Show. We've got lots more content coming up for you real soon. It's going to help you soar.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Craig and Greg Show.